Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to 90 Day Fiancé WTF Podcast, a weekly hangout to talk about what the fuck we all just watch on TLC's 90 Day Fiancé. I am Nadia, and with me is my co-host, Lon.
Hey, everybody. What's up, Nadia?
Hey, Lon, I think this is the modest I have seen you dressed.
I just wanted to let you know, I have a really long tongue. Too bad I don't know how to use it.
Oh, my God. Creepy.
Our favorite Mormon, folks.
Yeah. Our favorite LDS churchgoer, I guess. Lon, I just learned what LDS is, finally.
Oh, Latter-day Saints.
I was clueless throughout the entire tell-all until I kind of figure it out. Because, as you know, I'm not Christian, but you know what I mean? Like,
right.
They use that acronym, and I'm like, what is LDS? Is it a new drug? or a cult? And then I figure it out. It was Latter-day Saints. So, hey, 2 days years old.
I mean, cult, close enough.
Closing
up. But I'm not okay. I take that back. Listeners, if you're LDS or Mormon, I'm not trying to offend anybody. Let me take that back. The Catholic Church could also be seen as a cult. We talked about Midnight Mass, I think, right?
We did. Yeah, that was cultic.
I mean, there's a lot of cultish things, right? Mm-hmm. It really just depends if you're into religion or not. And if you are into religion, which religions do you follow? And that's the weird thing, because every religion thinks they're right. But really, if you step outside of the box, it's all cultish. Anyway.
Let's get into it, Lon.
Let's get into it.
Before we get canceled.
Yeah.
All right. So I thought we can start with Ellie and Victor, because there's really not much to talk about with them. Nothing new that we uncovered, right?
I think you made some assumptions, and you made a few assumptions actually that were actually on point. So one being that I guess he's in the US, right? Mm-hmm. I think you mentioned that like, yep. Yeah.
Yeah, well, someone snapped a photo of her at the place where she worked, which is the pizza parlor, and that gave us that clue that maybe Victor is in the US. The thing that we just learned during the show is they did start the K-1 visa process before the pandemic.
Right.
And when COVID happened, she thought, we don't know what's going to happen. Let's just move to Providencia. And then the hurricane, the Cat 5 hurricane, was it Cat 5, right? Hurricane happened.
So the K-1 visa process is for him to come to the U.S.
Correct.
Well, so did you know then? Why did you do the other way?
Exactly.
Now you're fabricating the story that like, oh, the original goal was to go there and live there.
Yeah.
And start the bar there and be in paradise there. Yeah, but then so we started this. In my head, I was like, something's not quite matching up here. So I don't know. Yeah.
We got frauded.
Yeah. They already started the K-1 visa process for him to come to America.
Yeah. I have a feeling that maybe she pivoted when COVID happened and she thought, well, we can't film anything because I guess the visa process might have been halted.
Mm.
And then she told the producers that, hey, let's just make this into a the other way situation. And then she pretended. That's the part where I think we got frauded, is she pretended to uproot herself, right? She pretended to sell her home, give up her business, only to move to Providencia. But now that we've seen them, both of them, at the tell-all, it's so obvious that she actually still has her life back here. I mean, great. I mean, I'm not hating on that, but it seems like a con to me. But
yeah. But also, she is smarter than we gave her credit for. Mm-hmm. Like, outside of the fictionalized world of 90 Day Fiancé, she had a plan. And that was like, no, I'm not putting all my eggs in one basket. Are you fucking right. me? Like,
yeah. Yeah, I'm glad because that would be a hard U-turn, right? Mm. If she had given up everything and suddenly now she has to start, I don't know, maybe find work or start a new restaurant or something. But yeah, I'm glad that she was able to return to the US. And I'm not sure, Lon, if you noticed something. When Victor asks, who here has never cheated? And then you see some cast members raise their hands, Kenny being one of them. But did you notice that Sumit raised his hand too?
No.
He was being shady. Come on, Sumit. We know you cheated. You cheated on your ex-wife with Jenny.
With Jenny, yeah.
How dare you raise your hand?
I didn't see that, no.
Bro.
Yeah. So here's the thing. I think somebody mentioned it. They said, well, it still doesn't seem like you're taking responsibility for your actions. And that's exactly what was happening. Like, his answers were always, I'm a man, right?
Yeah.
Or who, come on, you know, who are you telling me you haven't? Who else has? Okay, that's not the point. Like, are you going to just own up to it? Can you just say, it was shitty. I'm sorry. It won't ever happen again. I made a mistake. And it wasn't about that. It was like, you guys haven't done it. Come on. I'm a man. Come on. Like, I'm like, dude.
It's a rite of passage.
You're terrible, dude. Yeah. What are you saying, man? So they brought their friend over.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you think? Do you think there's hope for Ellie and Victor? Are they going to last? Are they doomed? What's your take here?
I think unlike Evelyn, Ellie doesn't hold a lot of grudges on that cheating episode.
Mm.
She doesn't bring it up. If anything, they argue more about money.
Mm.
You know what I mean? So I think she's willing to give him another chance.
Right.
And I don't see them as being unsatisfied with each other or unhappy with each other. I think they might go on with the relationship, but it's up to him. This is a relationship that he stands to lose.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. The friends not liking your significant other or whatever, for some, it's a deal breaker, but for others, it's not. That's one of those things where your friends can like your significant other or not and still be a part of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't mean you got to break up, or that doesn't mean you have to divorce, or it doesn't, that doesn't mean you can't be with the significant other. It just means, okay, well, I have to reserve time for them. And you know what? Thank you for your opinion. I know you're looking out for my best interests, but I'm going to stay around and see where this goes. Like, that's such a normal thing to do, right? So I'm like, all right. And you're right.
Unless your name is Alina, to which I think you should run the other way.
Yeah. That's, and there's levels, right?
Yeah,
Alina's levels, in a completely different situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, with Ellie and Victor, they do seem happy.
Mm-hmm.
They seemed great.
Like, they seem like a genuine couple.
At the tell-all, yeah. It's almost as if the cheating part, I wouldn't
was
say
fabricated, maybe, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't say it wasn't a big deal, but it seems to me that like Ellie's like,
brush it off almost.
Yeah, it happened. I forgave him, and we're moving on from that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And aren't they both going to therapy? Is that what I thought?
I don't remember that part. Mm. I didn't write anything down on that. Maybe they did, or maybe they are. But yeah,
I think they're trying to resolve whatever issues that they have, their hangups and stuff. And even from the entire season, it didn't seem as though like they were a strong couple aside from, you know, arguing about money.
Yeah.
But like to me, I thought they were pretty strong compared to the other couples on the show.
Yeah.
So yeah. Anything, so I think they're going to stick together.
Yeah.
I don't know how long, but I don't think there's like doomed.
I agree. The biggest takeaway from their scenes is when Kenny spoke up and said, you need to learn how to fight right. Which is like the best advice for any couple, you know?
Yeah. Right. Conflicts are going to happen. No relationship is perfect. If anything, the perfect relationship is the one where you know how to resolve your conflicts. It's not a conflict-free relationship that's perfect, right? Yeah, there's just going to be differences. You're different people. And learning how to fight right was such a good way to put it.
Yep.
Totally. Kenny, you're so wise.
I know. Hundopi. Do you mind if we move on to Jenny and Sumit?
No.
Who commits?
Yeah. But
still afraid to tell his parents?
Yeah. So I jumped the gun on that. I was just like, that's dumb. Just say it. But after cooling off a little bit, it's true. People were like, oh, you made the right call. Mm-hmm. Oh, this is something that needs to be done face to face. And I'm like, okay. All right. Right. Okay. Face to face. But in my head, I was just tell him, dude. Like, because to me, my initial thing was, it's not going to matter. Whether you tell them now or whether you tell them later, it's going to be the same reaction. We don't care. But I guess if you do it face to face, there's always going to be that context that, oh, we think you deserve that. There's a respect factor. But I don't know, for the parents, the disrespect already happened when you didn't say it. Yeah. When you didn't tell them that you were going to, even though they didn't give the blessing and even though they would have tried to stop it, there's something to be said about you telling them, well, I'm going to do it anyway, before you do it, not doing it behind their back and then saying, guess what, we're married.
Yeah, if I were Sumit, I would prep them mentally before.
Start dropping hints.
Yeah, start dropping.
Raising your eyebrow.
Yeah. And then go ahead with the wedding so that by the time they found out, they'll be mad, but at least they're mentally prepared, I guess. Mm-hmm. They've already had historical facts on it, maybe, if that makes sense.
Right.
I thought that Sumit's dad, Anil's comments about how their parents, grandparents, ancestors would not want them to be married, that was really harsh, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's,
right? Like, it's like you're condemning them and saying on behalf of your ancestors that, yeah, they would condemn them too. I mean, it just sounds very harsh to me.
Right. But also the grip of patriarchy, I guess, is also so strong that even on camera, the brother, savage, right? Well, when they said, would you still not marry her then if the tables were turned? I would not. I was like, oh my gosh.
Your wife is next to you.
I know.
You just had a kid. Like, you're going to say that to her?
And she and her? You could tell she was like, I don't know. I don't have an opinion because it was never, we never had to face that. Yeah. Right. We didn't have to face that or whatever.
Yeah.
But I was like, dang, that's crazy.
That's
like, he didn't even consider her feelings or what. Dude, it's someone you love or what? And I don't know, maybe it's patriarchy, but maybe it is their culture. Like what my parents say goes. And if they don't like her, then it doesn't matter that I love her.
So it's familial harmony comes before your own interests, right?
Yeah, sorry, my dog's whining.
Go for it.
My dog out. Yeah, so what was the phrase again? You said it was so beautifully spoken the way you said it.
Familial? No, it's familial harmony before your own self-interest. I'm not sure if it's a patriarchal thing. It's more of like...
Right.
So basically, even if you're in love or you think you found the love of your life, if your family does not approve, you're not supposed to pursue it. That seems like how it comes across, you know?
In this case, though, it was more...
But is the generation...
Make your mom happy. Happy wife, happy life kind of thing. Because it was actually... I say patriarchy, but in this family, it was actually matriarchy.
Yep. You got a point there.
You got to make her happy.
Yeah.
Because we actually don't care, right? But she's the one that's going to terrorize the rest of us.
They take the generation gap so seriously. Because I think that's part of the problem why they didn't approve of their relationship to begin with. She's 60-something, he's 30-something.
Right.
So they're like, no, that's not how marriage works. That's not how love works. And it took the astrologer to convince them that, hey, it's none of you guys' business. And then, they relented. They agreed to let Jenny and Sumit live together. But in their minds and in their eyes, they cannot consummate. They cannot get married, which is sad.
Yeah. And the thing, too, is that made me raise an eyebrow because I know for Catholics and maybe for other Christians, too, they would have a problem with living together and not getting married.
Yeah.
Like my mom right now considers me living in sin because my girlfriend lives with me. Yeah, but we're not married. So when he said, well, we don't care if you live together. Why do you have to marry her? You know, that was like, oh, really? That doesn't bug you? Or, but again, I don't know much about, you know, their culture and religious beliefs. But for me, yeah, my mom thinks I'm living in sin. So, okay.
I bet my mom thinks so too.
Oh, yeah.
People don't believe in like cohabitation.
Cohabitation, right, right.
Yeah, before marriage. And I thought cohabitation is a healthy thing for relationships. It's like you want a test drive, right?
Yeah, totally. There's a lot of things I think that sometimes religious beliefs get wrong a little bit, you know?
Yeah. So we both agree that Sumit should not have confessed to the parents that they're married, right? On the show.
I'll remain on the fence about that. I can see pros and cons to both.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's pros and cons to both. I believe that, yes, okay, there's some respect factor there to mm-hmm. be said, you know, about doing it face-to-face. But also, I don't think it will matter.
Mm-hmm.
It would have made some good TV, definitely, if he said it on the show.
It would have been very awkward.
Yeah. They tried. They tried that on him, right?
Yeah.
Are you sure you don't want to say?
Sean Robinson really teed up on a platter for him. Like, is there anything else you would like to say to your family?
Yeah.
Damn messy. This is so messy. Oh, TLC. And you can tell that people are feeding questions in her earpiece, right? Because.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's what I think, though. I think he would have. I think they would have said it if the reaction was positive.
Yeah.
But because it was so like negative, they're like, nope, this is not
the time. He changed his mind last minute. He made a game time decision.
Game time decision.
Like, yeah. He's like, oh, mom and dad's a piss.
Nope. Okay. Yeah.
They're still sore about Jenny and me. All right. Next time. Mm. But get them next time. So do you think we can talk about Binny and Ari?
Binny and Ari. You predicted this one too, right?
Yeah.
He got his K-1 visa and he's American now.
In the U.S. Yep, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So, you know, I mean, that's cool. I think for me, the meat of this one was Leandro. Everything else was kind of retreading old ground. Like, were there women over or not? Is Wish getting in his ear about certain things? Like, this is stuff we kind of went over. And if you want to touch on that too, we can get into that. But for me, it was Leandro, like, you know, what's his deal with not wanting to respect the relationship that way? I understand. I get it. I have friends too. And we're still friends. You know, no one's saying you can't be friends, but can you respect the relationship when the husband says, can you have boundaries?
Yeah.
And he says, back off. He didn't even say, I don't want you to be friends anymore. He just, what if I just told you to back off? And that's it. The fact that you have a past, an intimate one that you never got closure to.
Yeah.
Admittedly, you're on TV saying it. That's just really sus that you two are speaking behind his back in a different language. So he doesn't understand. That's the same as keeping secrets as far as I'm concerned.
Highly suspect. Yep.
Yeah. You know, and it's just not cool. And it would be different if it was quick calls to say, hey, I miss you. Happy birthday, or I don't know, whatever friends say to each other. But then you're not a regular friend. You are the ex-husband and you are spending hours at a time speaking in languages he doesn't understand. Like, how do you think this is okay? So, yeah.
Lon, that was the question I was going to ask you. Should Leandro back off on his own or wait till Ari to tell him to back off? And I think I pretty much have your answer there, which is, you're more of team Leandro should back off.
Yeah. And I hate to put it like in gendered language, right? Ever since I've started making trans friends and non-binary friends, I hate to say, oh, phrases like man up, you know, or he doesn't have the balls. Anyways, that's besides the point. What I'm trying to say is man to man. Person to person. Yes. Person to person. That is her new partner now. And if your relationship with her is harming their marriage, are they married or just engaged? I'd be forgetting.
They're not married.
Okay. Their relationship,
right?
Back off. Respect his wishes. I think somebody said it. What if the tables were turned? Or is he married? I forget. Does your white girlfriend?
Girlfriend. Yeah.
Okay. Well, how does she
feel?
How
would his girlfriend feel?
Yes. Right? And then
and he's like, I never thought of it that way.
Yeah. Come on.
I actually found out, and maybe I missed this throughout the entire season, but Sean Robinson really spelled it out for all of us. Ari was still married to Leandro when she got pregnant with Beanie's child. Mm. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It never ended. That's the thing. It didn't end.
It didn't officially end. Yeah. End, right?
No.
Damn.
They just stopped like talking and yeah.
Yeah.
I think Leandro was surprised too. And I think too, he's sour about that.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what? Again, there was no real closure to this. So mm-hmm. Sticky situation.
Wow. So let me postulate on this. I think he's not that mad at her, even though he should, because he got a green card out of it.
Benny?
No, Leandro.
Oh, Leandro. Yeah. Oh.
They were still married.
Oh, wait, I forgot. But he also was not American.
Yeah, he's not. He's Argentine.
Citizen. Right. Oh, my gosh.
So that's why I'm saying that my theory is that the reason why he's so cordial with her is because I think in a way he's grateful that she brought him over. And he's like, well, I got a good education from the U.S. I'm here. Why should I be mad?
All right. He's got a girlfriend now anyway.
He's got a girlfriend now, probably living the life. I don't know. But I have to say they probably didn't get the proper closure. I don't know what kind of closure they got. But yeah, I just think that Ari is also complicit in this because she keeps him in her back pocket.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah. Yep.
She's entitled Andro, with right? that.
I think she has that like safety net or like on the shelf kind of idea there.
He's her sight boy. If there's
side piece,
what is the opposite of side chick?
Yeah, I just say side piece now.
Side piece. Okay, sorry, side piece. Yep, I'm sorry, guys. Yep. Also, question: why does she need a nanny when she's not working?
Oh,
has anyone ever answered that? Right? Like,
I don't. Yeah, I don't know.
What is she busy with? Like, I'm just saying, because I know she's entitled to a nanny, but people are also asking, does she need one if she's not working? I know some of us, if we're a stay-home parent, do we need a nanny and be at home? Unless you're like a celebrity, right?
That's that moneyed lifestyle.
Yeah.
She comes from she comes wealth. From,
yeah, or, she does.
So the luxuries, right, that come with that. A better place. Right?
Yeah.
A nanny.
Nanny.
Yeah. Right.
So, Lon, are you team Beanie's sisters or are you team Ari?
I think they both make valid arguments. So, remember we talked about, well, Wish could just be saying this to get in her ear.
Right.
And to fuck with her mind about what she would love to break them up. So, of course, she'd say something that was untrue. To make it seem like misconstrued, to make it seem like, girl, I got your back. When really it's like she's just trying to put a wedge between them. I understand Ari's concerns there.
I don't know why Ari has to call them pathetic. To me, that's harsh.
Yeah. She's not helping her case.
Yeah. The thing about Ari that I like during the tell-all is that when she called out other people, I'm behind her. Like, I'm supportive of everything she said. But I wish that she's more introspective because when they talk about her issues with Beanie, her immediate reaction is to be self-victimizing.
Mm.
I mean, that's how I see it. You know, maybe I'm wrong, but...
No, that's a good call. Yeah. When she contributed to everybody else's relationship conversations...
Yeah, she makes sense, right?
She makes sense, yeah. But then she has faults. She's not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And she has the nerve to get on Beanie for certain things, right? Or like, well, look at you though. So.
Do we want to move on to Armando and Kenny, our favorite couple?
Okay. So this still frustrates me. Not anything about Kenny and Armando. Everything for me about Kenny and Armando is cool. I'm happy for Kenny Armando. It's great. But, and this irked me when we talked about it before. I'm with Kenny's son here. Like, what does it even matter?
Right.
Yeah. You know, he said it's about their happiness. And again, I guess the daughter's concern is, oh, he's going to be spending all his time or all his attention with this,
he'll be consumed
with this new baby. Yeah. So what? You're grown up.
Yeah.
You're not a baby. I understand these little sibling rivalries when you're like 3 or 4 and your brother's getting more attention than you are. And you do these attention getting things because you want the attention on yourself. You're grown. You're grown. All of you are. Does it really matter that if his attention is diverted to raising another baby with his partner and they're going to be happy? And I get it. I'm willing to budge a little bit. I hope he doesn't completely ignore you or that you're no longer a part of his life. But Kenny is not that kind of person.
Yeah.
So like, can you just let him live?
Yeah. Can I offer the theory that a lot of the fans of the show has put out? And this is kind of vicious. They're worried that their share of inheritance just got sliced a little bit more.
Oh.
Because like, why are you mad though, right?
Yeah.
In all honesty, and I'm sorry, Kenny and Armando, that's not us saying it.
That's speculation amongst the fans.
That from Reddit, that people were saying, haha, they're mad because they're getting lesser inheritance.
Mm.
But in all honesty, I think they're probably worried that their dad may not have enough bandwidth for his family back home in the US. But they should also be aware that they all have their own families. You know, Cassie has a new baby. She has her own family. I don't know about the rest, but I'm pretty sure they have their own lives. And it's not
y'all
like,
can work it out.
Yeah. It's not like they can come to their dad in Mexico. You know, it's not, Mexico is not like an ocean away.
Yeah. Did you hear what Evelyn said? I think it was Evelyn. When it started to get tense, Evelyn had this, I don't know what it's called, icebreaker or subject breaker, subject changer.
Yeah.
Where she said, well, whether he has a kid, I'm sure he's still going to look great.
Yeah, he's still going to look young.
Yeah, or something. And I was like, oh, good save.
Yeah.
Good save. And it's true, though. Like, and he looks really good. But then at the same time, I did want to make the comment that, did you hear Steven's little underhand comment at the beginning?
That's so bitchy of him to say like, oh, don't tell anyone, but Kenny in person looks older. You look like a Brooke Henson brother, okay?
He was already smack talking everybody there. I'm like, dude, aren't you supposed to be the religious guy?
The shit stirring game was too high. He's such a shit stirrer in this one. We're gonna get to him shortly, but I just want to say that Kenny and Armando has the healthiest blended long distance family that I've seen so far in the 90 Day franchise, and I think that's something to be proud of, especially for an LGBT couple to have such a nice blended family with both your in-laws and extended family and all that. So yeah, I'm really happy for them. I don't know if we need to see more of them, but I'll be happy if they stick around like in pillow talks or something. The other thing I just learned in this tell-all is the fact that Armando grew up Mormon as well.
Mm.
That's a revelation there. I guess now it kind of, I wouldn't say makes sense, but I can see how because of the LDS indoctrination, he feels he has to repress his true sexuality.
Mm.
And I'm glad that, you know, I guess he's maybe non-practicing LDS member or maybe not even an active one. And I'm glad that he's able to be his best self or be his true self, you know?
Right.
All right. Are we ready for Evelyn and Corey?
I think they're so done. And somebody suggested, well, maybe you need to go to therapy to learn how to be separated or something like that.
Did somebody say that?
Okay. I forget who said it, but it was like, well, one, Corey said he got her a therapist, but right. I think
for Christmas,
it was like a gift.
What?
Yeah. But yeah, you know, and I think Evelyn quipped something like, oh, because I'm the one who needs one, right? Or whatever, something like that. Mm-hmm. But like, I kind of get that. I think that their relationship's toxic. It's not healthy. Yeah. It's bad. But they seem to justify all these issues so they can be together. And I think that's what the person, whoever had mentioned it, I think it might have been Ellie or somebody, but when they said, well, maybe you need to work through these things so that you can be apart or something like that, instead of trying to think we're going to save this, we're going to work this out or things like that. But I think they're done. I just think they're done because it's true. Like Corey will say, that's it. You know everything. And Evelyn, I feel so bad, right? Because she does sometimes like seem to be the bad person, but she's always the one coming back. And now she hears this on live TV, no less. And what's she going to do? Come back again?
Yeah.
You know, so she keeps giving him these chances. And yeah, that's how it feels like to her. And obviously we see it too. She's the one giving him all these chances all the time. And here it is. He's over here saying like he has feelings, not in so many words, but that's what it's said.
Yeah.
For the most part, right? He's, oh, I'm going to need a beer or something like that. Like, and then he said he cares about her, but Evelyn's the one that is his wife and that's the one he loves. But like, you still have feelings and you lie to Evelyn about how you felt.
Can I say that maybe he said that about Jenny because he doesn't want to come across as a jerk? Because think about it, he didn't really end their relationship. He ghosted on Jenny.
Yeah. So
he has to tell us viewers that, you know what, I still care for her, even though he's probably being a fuckboy to her. It was probably a fling, you know? And
there's so many ways I can play this, but go ahead.
No, I mean, go ahead. Because I just think that the reason why he kept repeating the fact that, oh, I still care for Jenny, but Evelyn is the one, it's very circumstantial, you know, because when Evelyn accepted him back, he's like, oh, okay, well, now I'm back with her. But with Jenny, I mean, I guess I still have feelings for her, but, you know, like he ghosted her and he doesn't want to come across as that jerk who was just fucking around and then ghosting people.
Yeah.
So he had to come up with excuses saying that, oh yeah, but it's not like that relationship is fraught. I do care for Jenny, but now I'm with Evelyn, conveniently, you know? So.
Yes. So to take that a step further, mm-hmm, it almost seems to me as if he's still straddling the middle so that they're both options, right? So that if Evelyn doesn't work out,
he can go back to Jenny?
He can go back. Yeah. She's trying to leave that door, even though open. It's almost, yeah, shut. It's still there. Because if, yeah, he said, oh yeah, like Jess, no, no feelings whatsoever. And when the episode aired, that's what I said. I was like, what do you mean? Like, what are you saying? The only right answer here is no, you don't. Mm-hmm. And that, yeah, you are 100%. So when he said that, even when I was watching it, when it aired, the fact that he said that for me was like, he was still trying to leave that as an option and leave the door open there.
Yeah.
And it's like, dude, you're still playing the middle, dude. You're still playing the middle.
And you've been coy about it. Yep.
Yeah. That's what he did with Jess at the beginning of the relationship. That's why he didn't tell her. It took him a month and a half to tell her because he was kind of playing both sides again, mm-hmm, which one's going to like work or whatever. Right. So I just don't like Corey at, yeah, all.
Can I be a devil's advocate here and,
yeah,
remind our listeners and us that during the last tell-all that they were on, Evelyn actually confessed to Corey that she was sleeping around with his best friend. I believe that was Raul at that time. And she also slept around with others in town. And she didn't really care about what he thought. And she called him fat. It was actually, yeah, in my notes. I kind of scrolled up and I was like, oh, she was the villain in the last tell-all. And I thought, okay. Then I caught myself feeling like, well, I don't want to vilify Corey. I mean, I know he came across as a jerk, but at the same time, there's like this double standards, right? Like, because we're all bashing Corey, but Evelyn is not a saint either.
Right.
Again, like, I don't get why she went ahead with the wedding. And my theory during the last podcast recording was that I think deep down she really wants the wedding just to show off, maybe. But I think part of her regrets officializing it with Corey because it's embarrassing. People probably know that Corey had slept around, but I think people also know that she has slept around.
So right.
In a way, they're meant for each other, I guess.
For me, it's the reason I take her side is because she did her dirt. She's got all the skeletons. But the thing is, and I see it from her side, we're going to put it all on the table. And, mm-hmm, once it's all on the table, we can move past all this, mm-hmm, but you got to put it all on the table. Mm-hmm. So she said, yeah, I slept with your best friend. You know, I was promiscuous. I don't know, whatever she did, mm-hmm, but I'm letting you know. Mm-hmm. And that way, when we get married, all my secrets are out. I have nothing to hide.
Yeah.
You're Corey,
for who, yeah, I am.
So that's it. And we cross this line, point of no return. And Corey is like, all right, yeah, here's this. Okay, fine. We're going to move on. And then it turns out not to be true. So then she's like, okay, this time I mean it. Yeah. Okay. Let's put it all on the table. Yeah, this is it. This is everything. And then she comes on TV and it's not everything. And she's just like, dude, how many? I get it. Like,
I thought that was her first time seeing that footage. And maybe that's why she relived it, even though they put everything on the table before they went ahead with the wedding ceremony.
Well, he lied to her, though. And that's where it keeps getting complicated, because he told her, what he told her was he had no feelings for Jess. Mm. But then for her to see the video,
yeah,
you still have feelings for Jess.
I can see that his non-answer, like you say, opens up the door of like he possibly could still harbor feelings for Jenny. And obviously that's her.
Or Jenny. Sorry, Jess. Yeah. I keep saying Jess. Yeah, Jenny. Sorry, y'all. Sorry.
Yeah, no worries.
But yeah, so I thought we were done with this. Mm-hmm. How can I move forward now when I thought we were done with this? And you told me that it was a solid no. And I'm the woman in your life now, whatever. And then she sees a video and he's still like, oh, still that.
So you're saying he deserved a smack. Was it an assault to you?
Yeah.
Did you catch that? She actually like smack him or something. I mean, it's a gentle one, but I know your stance on like, you know, assault, right?
Yeah. I mean,
does she need anger management?
You know, hitting people, I'm trying to stay away from violence to anyone, right? But at the same time, when you're angry, you hit things. Yeah, that's not a justification. I'm just saying I understand if people do. I'm not saying it's right.
Yeah. All in all, I have to say I'm exhausted from their relationship. I don't want to watch them anymore. It's toxic. Like, they just have to get their shit together and it's not entertaining anymore. Yeah. It has passed the point of entertainment, you know?
See, I think they're done, but you think they're perfect for each other.
I think they're perfect for
each
other.
You're like,
I think they're staying together because it benefits both of them, you know? And this is a good segue because it seems like Corey's family has sort of outcast him. I'm not sure if that's the right word. I wouldn't say abandoned him, but they've really wash your hands off him, if that's a better term to put it. I think Corey feels more at home in Engabao, and maybe he felt more accepted there than at home with his family now that, you know, his dad has passed away and he's no longer close with them. And it's really sad to hear that 7 years he's been in Ecuador and no one has visited him. What do you think about his brother, Matt, and I guess Taylor? I'm not sure if Taylor was the wife. I didn't really catch that. But do you think that he was justified in the way he explained why they didn't go to the wedding or they're no longer close to him?
Yeah. So I don't think that's either justified at all. So here's the thing. The wedding to me, not a big deal. Right. I think when he was like, wait, so you're saying just because I didn't go to the wedding, I don't love my brother. That's not your place to say.
Yeah.
Okay. Point taken, but 7 years. Okay. Yeah. The wedding, whatever. But I can also say, hey, I can't make the wedding, but how about next month? Or I can't make the wedding, but you know, in a year from now, why don't I come visit? Mm-hmm. You had 7 years. You know what I mean? So, and I know the wedding just happened, but I'm saying what my point is, you had 7 years. You know, I would understand if in those 7 years you visited a few times and then you were like, I can't make the wedding.
Yeah.
But for you to not and then say, I can't make the wedding, you just don't want to go. You just don't want to see your brother. And I have really good relationship with my brothers. And it's tough for us to be apart. When I was living in Seattle, I lived in Seattle for actually 7 years. And they couldn't wait to visit me. I couldn't wait to visit them. We couldn't wait to visit each other. And like, you can make it happen, dude. So, and you know, why didn't Corey visit his brother? So, I don't know. It's a two-way street too.
Yeah. I like how, if you watch the tell-all, Kalani actually called out the brother for flying to New York to film the tell-all, but not flying to Ecuador to visit his brother.
Oh, Pillow Talk.
Yeah, Pillow Talk.
Pillow Talk episode?
Yeah, Pillow Talk. Yeah.
I'll check that later. I didn't catch that one.
Yeah, which is like, he's being contradictory. Like, he doesn't mind that, well, I guess TLC probably paid for him and Taylor to fly to New York to film this tell-all. But I mean, if you really love your brother as you claim to, to be, right? Why can't you visit him once? And if anything, if you're trying to find a reason to, how about his wedding?
Yeah.
Right? If you don't like Ecuador, well, why about attending as his best man?
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, I'm not really a fan of the brother. He seems like, you can tell he was very defensive when Evelyn's sister called him out on it. And that tells me that he's guilty. Like, he knows he fucked up and he's just trying to, like, know your place, people. Like, I actually love my brother. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Good way of showing it.
Yeah. All right, Lon. Oh, man. We've come to the pinnacle of it all.
Stephen with a V?
Yep. Stephen with a V. Mr. Scoodily Poop. Mr. Shitster.
Yeah, so let me say this first. Okay. Let's get the good part out of the way.
Yeah.
It's not even great, but Alina, poor thing, right? I feel so bad for Alina before it got super, super uncomfortable and even super, super weird. The fact that nothing really changed. I was like, damn. And I knew it wouldn't. I knew it wouldn't. And for her to still have this difficulty of leaving, you know, it's like, it's all there spelled out right in front of her. And she still doesn't know if she's going to leave or not. I think she even said that she was going to try to work it out still.
Yeah. She decided there and then that she will give him another chance. But mark my words, that's not going to be the last chance. She's stuck in this toxic relationship and it will take a while for her to get out. I've been there before. I've given multiple chances to my ex-partner who kept cheating on me. But sometimes you have to learn it the hard way, because when you're in the relationship, you're seeing things with rose-colored glasses and your blind spots are just shut off, right? People can be coming at you saying, look, man, he cheated with me, or you should run the other way. But it just seems like Alina is, if I could come up with a theory on why she's staying, it's probably because she wants to get into the US. I don't know. Like, maybe she sees Steven as a gateway. As a, you know, exotic partner.
Right. The opportunities where she's at maybe aren't the best for her. Yeah. And maybe just coming over would be better despite the shitty relationship she's in.
But nine different girls though. And what?
Yeah.
Threesome? Dude, this guy is grooming people. That's the creepy part.
Yeah. So
he sees it as normal behavior to him.
I want to get out there first before we get into this.
Okay, go for it.
And say, yeah, like, I'm not one to like kink shame. I'm actually pretty open about sexuality. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's wrong that he wants a threesome. I think it's more of what Armando was saying. Like, the sexuality is not what's wrong here. The fact that you package yourself and you've presented yourself as like this holy God fearing person when you're actually not there. I mean, and even then, I don't think that like sex is wrong or sinful. Yeah. I'm not trying to go that route either, but I'm saying that he does, he's presents himself that, oh, I'm going to be loyal. And then there's these standards that I want you to have. Okay. But you're not living up to those standards though yourself. Therein is
hypocrisy.
The
yep.
Right. You're a married man and you're talking to nine different women and you're entertaining their nudes, right? The fact that you want to have a threesome, I don't think that's like, oh my gosh, you want to have a threesome. And I think some people in the show were like, what? No, you're a freak, right? I think if he was open from the beginning, and there's another angle I could explore, like you touched up on it, how because of his religion, there's sexual suppression here also in play, but that's a whole nother conversation. But I think if he was open about these things, I think the honesty from the beginning would have been better.
Yeah.
If he had opened up to her about these things from the beginning, and gave her that choice after getting to know her and getting comfortable and them, you know, maybe exploring their sexuality together and him throwing it out there then and saying, well, you know what do you feel about this? And kind of giving her that decision to say, oh, I'm down with that or I'm not, you know, instead of just, I'm going to marry you. And then now that we're married, now I'm going to explore these things. Okay, but you already made this commitment to her. That's so not fair. If he had just been honest, I think, about these things from the very beginning, I think it would have been different. She would have been more informed, and that information would have given her a better decision-making, whether this was a relationship she wanted to continue.
Yeah.
There, I mean, because the thing is, if you offer this information in the beginning and she didn't marry you, then you could find somebody who maybe wants to explore that too.
Yeah.
Instead of hurting somebody who isn't down with that.
Yeah. I can see it as, yeah, now he's trying to groom her or force the whole kink down her throat. And she's already told him that she's not into him having multiple relationships. She's not right. into the whole polygamy thing. And I just wish that if Stephen wasn't adamant about the whole baptizing, if he didn't come across as what Vanessa eloquently put it as fronting as a faithful man who wants to be in a monogamous relationship, if that wasn't his brand, I think some of us wouldn't be that shocked with his behavior.
Right.
But because he comes across as someone who's like Bible thumping and follows the teaching of the LDS closely and wanting Alina to be baptized, like Armando puts it, right? And then he goes about the other way. Then,
right. He puts those expectations on his partner, but doesn't live up to those expectations himself. And then when he gets called out on it, he'll always pull out some self-serving bit of scripture annotation.
Or a Nelson Mandela quote.
Exactly.
Fucking
exactly. Like this guy over here, dude. And yeah. And when you did it, I'm like, you always do that. Always do that to make it seem you twist all these words or you pull all these things to make, to, you know, again, self-serving for his own benefit so that he can continue to keep doing what he's doing. And I'm just like, nah.
This really reminds me of Midnight Mass. You know how they justify thing and then they start quoting the Bible.
Oh. Yes. Yeah. Great show, by the way, listeners. If you saw
still
it, let us know what you thought about it. If you saw it and yeah, we'll talk about it. We like to talk about Midnight Mass.
We keep going back to it.
That's the theme of this season of our podcast.
Yeah. Midnight Mass. But yeah, I just find that Stephen was being out of place in a lot of areas, right? Like calling people out, saying that he feels like he's the worst person in the room with the exception of Corey. And then Corey came back with like, well, technically I'm not in the room.
Yeah.
And then accusing Ari of abandoning Beanie, which is semi-true, but really it was because, you know, she prefers to have the surgery done in the US, which is her prerogative, right?
Yeah.
She's the mom. But yeah, like... Was he paid extra to like really stir the pot here? Like,
again, he's that guy. He's that guy where he doesn't want to look at his own faults. He came prepared to defend himself by pointing the finger at other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think he took some responsibility, and even then, it wasn't that great. Like, that was a temporary lapse of judgment, and
fleeting moment of weakness.
fleeting moment of weakness. Right. You know what I mean? But he was quick to jump on everybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And that, to me, that's just so typical. And I'm not speaking for everybody. You know, my brother is like, well, you judge all Christians because a little bit of a few Christians are like this and stuff. But for me, that's just been my experience where I think religion and all these rules and piety and righteous self-righteousness make you live by these standards. And then you start to look at everybody else who aren't living to these standards.
It's beneath you.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And then that they're sinners and stuff. Yeah. Well, yeah, well, but look at yourself first, because they were designed for you as well, especially for you, because some people may not follow your commandments or your holy books, your sacred texts. So apply them to yourself, bro. Are you living up to those standards? Yeah, and he came there to like pick everybody else apart and like, this is the most modest I've seen you dressed. Get the fuck out of here with that. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I hate that people just giggled or like they nervously laugh. I wish someone would have called him out on it.
Yeah. And that's so sexist too, right?
Yeah. Like, do out you of not, line.
Do you not understand the comment you just made? Like,
so out of line, dude. I wish someone would have called him out on that. I like the fact that he was trying to dodge Sean Robinson's question, and Jenny was like, you can't do that to Sean. She's asking the question. And I like how Sean reminded him that it is a couple's tell all.
Yeah.
And she also called out the folks who laughed at his confession because he is married and he's still doing all this to Alina.
Right.
And it just breaks my heart, Lon. I feel like at this point, Alina has lowered her standards. And that's what happened to people in abusive relationship is that they think that this is the best that they could do and they don't see past that.
All right.
I've been there, so I know how that feels.
This is only the stuff we see. And again, you can attest to that if you've lived through it. Mm-hmm. There's a lot that goes behind closed doors.
Exactly.
A lot that goes behind closed doors. And when people don't see that, to them, it's just, oh, this is so obvious. You should leave. But there's a lot happening behind closed doors. Emotional, psychological manipulation,
mm-hmm.
right? That breaks you down.
Yeah.
Right. You get fed maybe small nuggets or small tidbits of positivity that make you hopeful
mm-hmm.
and go, oh, well, maybe this is an opportunity for our relationship to turn around or that this person, he or she will change. There's a lot that goes on behind closed doors that people don't see and that they don't understand. Unless they experience being in an abusive relationship, the types of abuse that you go through mm-hmm. that keep you around, do you know what I mean? That are designed, we're not just foolish people, right? I say we because I've encountered my fair share of abusive relationships, toxic relationships.
Yep.
We're just not like stupid people, but I think abusers and manipulators, they know how to use your goodness, right?
Yep.
To keep you around. They use your goodness as a weakness.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe one day they'll lavish you with gifts or they'll apologize in a way that seems sincere or, do you know what I mean? And these yeah. are all things that I see Stephen doing.
Yeah.
You know, these like grand gestures. Oh, I'll make her this book, you know, and little things like that. And these apologies.
I'll kidnap some cats.
Yeah. And I'm just like, I see it. I see that it's being played out here. And I'm like, dude. And it's true. And she eats it up. She eats yeah. it up. And it's, you see the joy in her face. Oh, maybe yeah. he is a sweet guy. You know, I'm like, this is abuse.
That's the thing about abuse. Yeah. The thing about abusers is they will engage in grand gestures to mask the wrongdoings and how shitty they are.
Mm-hmm.
And to make their partner forget their mistakes. And like I say, it will take a yeah. while for Alina to learn. Lon, if there's nothing else, I just want to close this out by saying, you know, shout out to Vanessa who came.
I was going to say that.
All, not to rat on Stephen, but rather to show support.
To save, I think, right. Alina.
Yeah.
Because I think she even got emotional. She was like, Alina, that's not going to happen. You exactly. got to get out. Yeah, I was like, she knows, man.
He's worse now than before. And yeah. folks, if you're interested to know more about their relationship, by there I mean Vanessa's and Steven's previous relationship, go to Reddit, go to the 90 Day Fiancé sub and find her AMA. She detailed everything along with the receipts and it's very telling, very disturbing. So just a forewarning there, if you're triggered by abuse and, you know, abusive relationship especially, because she really, really go into the weeds. She really detailed how their relationship went. And you really got to brace yourself when you read the AMA. Go check it out. But yeah, shout out to her for...
You're a real one for that, Vanessa.
Exactly. Yeah,
it's really nice for her to do that.
So Lon, on that note... What is your WTF moment on this tell-all?
WTF for me... Steven, the whole entire thing was a clusterfuck.
Mm-hmm.
But what stood out to me were the 9 girls that sent him nudes and he entertained every single one of them. So he calls it a fleeting like moment or whatever. And the reason he's doing that is to isolate it, to make it seem like one incident.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, there was this time when 9 girls sent me. No. These are
it was
separate,
9 times.
These are separate yeah. incidences,
yeah.
right? Separate incidences for him to show how faithful. And maybe he would have failed 3 of those times or 4 of those times. He failed every single time.
Yep.
9 times.
Right.
9 times he was presented with an opportunity to be unfaithful to his wife. 9 times. And every time he took it.
Think that Alina would have been like, fuck this, I'm out.
No willpower whatsoever. No. And then before we even get into that, he wasn't even supposed to be doing that anyway.
Right.
He wasn't even supposed to have a messaging account. I guess this was a Facebook Messenger, I'm assuming. Like,
he said he closed his Facebook, no?
Exactly. Like, he wasn't even supposed to have these accounts anyway. And that's another thing altogether is, you know, what you do with your socials and things like that. Because we had this conversation. If you're already doing that, it should be over.
Yeah.
If that's where you're in relationship with that, yeah, it's already done. But they agreed. And that was the boundary, was for him to get rid of those accounts.
Right.
So one, he still has the accounts, right? That's already broken, right? Mm-hmm. And then nine times that he was presented an opportunity to be unfaithful to his wife and he entertained it every single time.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
Bro. Hey, fuck? No puns intended, but do you think those nine girls, assuming they're girls, were booby trapping him?
Booby trapping him?
Because they send the receipts to Alina. As
apparently, said, yeah. Right? Well, I mean, she found out, but I don't know.
They sent them to her. So that's why
they were
thinking.
Sent to her. Maybe. I forgot how it was worded, but
yeah.
Either way, yeah. Maybe they sent them to her or someone sent them to her or let her know.
But even if the thirst was real, that still doesn't excuse him from such behavior.
Yeah. And again, if it wasn't manufactured in that way, Kenny had already told him anyway. You're famous, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Like, this is going to happen. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to expect this. These are the tests. Like, I get boobs too. And it is. I'm not surprised. You know, if Colt can find dates and Big Ed can find dates, then like, that's just what comes with being on this reality show. There's a certain level of notoriety and fame that comes with being on the show. Your relationship will be tested.
Mm-hmm. And he killed him.
And
nine times.
Yeah.
I agree with you, Lon. That's also my WTF moment. Not particularly the nine that, I would say that definitely. But I was going to choose basically all of Steven's comments, especially the one on Evelyn, even though I'm not a big fan of hers. But still, he has no place to say how she dressed. You know, he should not cross that line.
Right.
And everything else that...
The shade that he was throwing.
The shade that he was throwing at Corey. It's almost like he was out to get Corey immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone else, even Ari, got a bit of shade from Steven. But I also want to say WTF to Leandro as well. Like,
good one. Yeah.
You know, leave them alone.
Just leave them alone.
Yeah. Ride off to the sunset and, you know, take your PhD and just, you know, live your life.
Yeah. You want to be her friend? Wish her a happy birthday, you know, Merry Christmas or whatever.
Right. But don't get on the phone and speak for 2 hours in Spanish.
No need to be doing that.
I mean, nothing wrong with the language, but I'm just saying that in secret, right? Because the thing is, Beanie doesn't speak Spanish. Now, if Beanie speaks Spanish, now, of course, that's, you know, fair play. But like, you're trying to code. It's like there's a code here that, or there's something that you clearly don't want Beanie to know. And for 2 hours?
Yep.
Are we back in high school? Like, what's going on here?
Yep. Shady. That's super, super,
hella
super
shady.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm glad that this tell all happened in one episode. They didn't break it into like 2-3 episodes, which, you know, thank you, TLC, for not dragging this on.
Right.
Lord knows I'm sick of some of these relationships already.
I was surprised. I was like, oh, is it done?
Yeah,
is that it?
Dunzo. I do have one WTFT to share with our listeners and you, Lon. This actually just broke today before we recorded, and we record every Tuesday, listeners, in case you're wondering. Tariq and Hazel are no longer living together. In fact, Tariq revealed that Hazel is probably on her way back to the Philippines.
What?
Yeah. And did you know that Tariq filed for bankruptcy again?
What? No.
Yeah. Well, someone has this theory that because this relationship started out of convenience, or it came about out of convenience, right? Maybe it was transactional. You know, Hazel wants a better life, and of course she deserves it. But she also wants to bring her son to the US. And now that he has filed bankruptcy multiple times, I don't know how much he can actually afford to do that for her, because bringing over family members ain't cheap. to the US. And I don't know how much, or I don't know whether he can even afford to support them. And remember, he has a disabled child.
Have they been on Pillow Talk? No, it's just him and his brother. It's always
just
been
his
him
brother
and his brother.
And his brother's wife. Yep.
Is it Dean?
Yeah, Dean and the wife. Yeah,
but I thought Dean and he, well, before the wife was on it with Dean, I thought it was him and Dean too on sometime.
Yeah, but you know, they're not in good terms anymore.
Mm, okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah,
right.
It's kind of sad to learn about.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, they seemed happy the last time.
Yeah.
Because like, wasn't she also trying to get in with his daughter?
Like, yeah, I think they get along.
Pals and stuff, be friends and stuff.
Yeah, and she was willing to explore her sexuality and possibly having a threesome. What? What's that face for?
I forgot about that whole thing.
Oh, yeah. I'm here to
did I forget? They made that the entire story.
They make that the gist
that
of it, right?
Yeah. You're right. I'm over here thinking, oh, why did I only remember the wholesomeness of trying to get to know his daughter and bringing the son over? Nah, they made it all about the whole threesome.
He's still not over the Thai chick, remember?
Yeah, right. Maybe that happened.
Should
happen.
And she split. Like, peace out.
Wow. Thanks for listening, WTFers. If you love the podcast, you can show your support by leaving us a 5-star review on Apple or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us under listener support on anchor.fm and donate for as low as 99 cents or on Patreon at WTF Extra. It is appreciated and really helps us out. You can engage with us on email, Twitter, and Instagram at 90 Day Fiance WTF. We especially would like to hear what your WTF moments are each episode. We might even shout you out. Don't forget to like, share, and follow the podcast. You can find me on Instagram at lawn_like_lawn. Click on the link in my bio for additional socials.
So Lon, are you ready for Before the 90 Days? I think that's the next thing that's coming out.
The one that they were plugging during the tell-all. Is that?
Yeah, that's the one.
If it's before.
Before the 90 days. Yeah.
It already looks, it looks interesting.
It looks spicy.
It could just be a bait and switch, but it looks good.
Yeah. Well, at least it's all new couples, no repeats.
We like new couples.
We like new couples.
Yeah. So here's the thing, though. It looks like TLC is going through extra lengths to not make them typical couples. Does that make sense?
Like literally mismatched.
Yeah, not so much mismatched, but they're not like mismatched.
Are we gonna address the elephant in the room here? Is that what it is?
Well, there were a few I think that I saw, and it's always a surprise. Yeah. But like mismatch isn't the word, because in previous seasons I think everybody's let me just go ahead and say I think it's a mismatch every time. Like, Americans are dating these like hot, really attractive foreigners. It has always been a mismatch. So that's why I mean mismatch for me isn't the right word, because every single season it's a miss. Steven and Alina are a mismatch. Like, I'm like, how did Steven and Alina happen? That's a mismatch.
Yeah.
When I say like atypical or whatever, they're looking for something different about these couples, right?
Yeah.
And obviously I'm not just talking about the elephants in the room.
I said it, that, y'all. Sorry.
That was one, but there were other ones too. I think they previewed like two other couples.
There was one that's like, I don't know whether you call it the yellow fever.
Yeah.
Right? Is that the one that she likes Asian men?
She likes Asian men, and she said it goes beyond. Yeah, I guess you can call that yellow fever, but
right?
Yeah. So that was one, right?
Yeah.
So they're looking for really like, it's almost comical. That's what it is.
Yeah.
It's almost like they're not just looking for people who are like, oh, 90 day fiance couples. No,
yeah.
they're going that extra mile to be like,
so you know? I think
I'm not even putting it in words, right?
The formula that TLC comes up with when it comes to Before the 90 Days is they want to make us guess whether or not the couple will last, or whether or not they're genuine to begin with.
Mm.
Like, will someone like him fall in love with her, or will someone like her fall in love with him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it just fucks with your mind. If there's, yeah. You know, I'm sorry if that's no other better way for me to put it, but yeah.
It does. Yeah. That,
we'll be covering that, listeners.
We'll be covering that. I'm excited for that. Yeah, that was the question. Back to the question. I'm excited for that. Yes.
Yeah. I'm also excited to see the next episode of Family Chantel because I guess that's the episode where they have the fight. They have the fight that has been advertised all throughout the season.
I've fallen off
Pedro's sister. Yeah, I've fallen off that too. I need to catch up. But next episode, next Monday, I think, when they air the episode, is that episode where you see Pedro's sister fight or try to, you know, pick a fight with Chantel. Or Chantel's family.
The last one I saw was Pedro fighting. It was a fight. It was the other fight that they did.
Was there a flying kick? Is that what it is?
Yeah. And they were in the middle of the crosswalk and the street and they rolled around. They tumbled on the floor for a little bit. And I'm like,
Wait, spoil it for me. Who won?
I
could catch that episode, but I want to know who won. Was it Alejandro or Pedro?
It was back and forth, but I think in the end it was Pedro.
Uh-huh.
It did go back and forth, but in the end, like Pedro was able to use his mixed martial arts. And,
and he works out too, right?
Yeah. And Alejandro was literally saying, get off of me, get off me and all that. So that made it look like, oh, well, you lost. You lost.
Yeah, that makes sense because Alejandro, after that, from what I've gathered, he seems very butt sore. You know, his ego was hurt, obviously.
Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to covering the next season of 90 Day Fiancé, I guess, before the 90 days. So until then, just want to say thank you to our listeners. Thank you for choosing us or thank you for listening to us. You know, share the love, spread the word. And love y'all.
Bye-bye.